that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this Saturday morning, December 4th, 2021 time. Just marches right on. And a new day starting, sunrise, not quite yet, just a beautiful, beautiful colors. We've had some beautiful sunrises here this fall. Lots of clouds, lots of color, lots of pinks and oranges, and just can't help but, well, but be in awe of God's glory and the colors that He gives us just to enjoy. You know, everything could be drab gray all the time, but that's not how He made us. That's not how He wanted us. Well, we've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring everybody on. And Josh from way down south, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
And Tim right there in Nebraska, thank you for joining us. Good to have you on, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
And Jason, good morning to you as well, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you. We are here with our coffee and a couple of cups and our Bibles. And the program is Coffee with the Wranglers. Pastor set it up for an opportunity for people to gather and to just have a little fellowship, talk about what's going on, and that's what we do. We have the phone lines open, so you're able to join in. We're going to open up in prayer. We suggest that you do that. We hope you've opened your day with prayer. And Jason, we'd ask if you'd open us up, and then we'll get started on this.
Okay, yeah, we're getting some kind of weird feedback on your line.
Is that on mine?
Yeah.
Well, I'll
mute. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we just ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning. We pray, Father, for you to be with us, help us to go in the direction that we're supposed to go, and we just ask, Father, that you just be with us. Lord, we know that there are so many things that are going on the unseen that we don't see today, and we don't see it in the news, and we don't know what's going on, but we know that you know what's going on, Father. And we just pray, Father, that you continue to war with those that war against us, that you fight with those enemies that are your enemies, that are our enemies, that dig a pit for your people, Father. We pray, Father, for them to be the ones that fall into it. Those that set a snare for us, Father, we pray that they become ensnared in it. We just hold up that shield of faith, and we extinguish any and all fiery darts of the evil one and call for them to be sent back multiple times over, Father. And we just ask that you just do a mighty and awesome work. We're thankful that you are our God and we are your people, and we just give you praise and glory for that. And we just ask that you continue to guide us and direct us in all that we do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Was just thinking about the program this morning, and then what to talk about, and you know where to start, because there are so many things that are going on all around us. But it came to that what we needed to focus on first was just favor. And what that means to have God's favor, and what that's done for his people again and again and again throughout history. It defies all of the laws of physics and what have you. I mean, anytime you walk across the sea on dry ground, you know, that's not just normally possible. But when you're in a position where you're being obedient, and you find favor with God, it doesn't matter what you see around you. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. He is so much greater than all of that. And I think it's important for us, especially in this day and time, to remember, to think about what it is to us to find favor with God, and how we've seen that again and again, because we've had conversations. I know these ones here this morning, we've talked about time and again how we have found favor with God, and impossible things have been made possible through that. So just wanted to lead out with that thought, and see if y'all had anything to add to it.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, natural law is run by God, and he can suspend it if he wishes, you know, at Noah's flood. He can bring great things to us as a result of it. I mean, either what benefit or destruction, you know. I mean, so when we pray believing and God answers our prayers, I think that they always a suspension of God's law, and we benefit from that ability, and that's part of the reason we're should strive constantly to be in that sweet spot of God's favor. You know, I mean, I like you said, I see it every day, and when you pray, the more, that's why things like our praise reports and things like that are important, not because and make our egos good, but because it strengthens our unbelief, you know, or weakens it, strengthens our belief in God, and it helps our unbelief to become weaker. And we know that, well, God, when we asked for this, you gave us that, and I know you did, and thank you. And we need this now, and I know you're hearing me. So, I think it also helps us know when he says no sometimes. You know what I mean? It's like, well, he answers all of those in a positive. So when we do get a no, it's like, well, I know he was listening. I know he's answered all these others. I don't understand the reason, but that's okay, because evidently there is a reason. So I think it...
That goes along with that trust, you know, because we trust him, and we know that he knows what's right and what's best for us, and we don't. And you know, through my follies, I have confirmed that time and time again, that
You know, even if I think, you know, I've got the best plan that I could see, and it's going to work, and then a lot of times they just fall apart, you know. But us having that relationship with him and seeing and speaking, what you said, Tim, about hearing it made me think about just that frequency and how we do when we share those things. We lift each other up through him, and we come closer to the Holy Spirit. You know, we're sharing that personal relationship that we have with him. So the driving part of that is if you look all around you, it looks like the world's in pieces. But if you're right where God wants you to be, then you don't have to worry. You know, we can rest in him. We can find that peace. And a lot of times his favor is not answering those prayers and not letting us find our own folly, you know, to your point there, Tim, because...
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. There's many times we just don't know best, but I like how you put that, Josh. When we, you know, when we trust in Him, like that old song, "Trust and Obey." When we come to that realization, you know, the Apostle Paul writes about it a lot in the New Testament that we're nothing, that we don't. You know, we don't make the best decisions. We don't know the things of God. But when we trust in Him, you know, I when you were talking there, I thought back to the plagues of Egypt, where God made the word says he made a distinction in Exodus 9 between the flocks, the livestock of Israel, and the livestock of Egypt. And when the hail came, in the land of Goshen, there was no hail where God's people were, and in the darkness, God's people had light, and you know it's unmerited favor. God offers that to His people, but I like how you put it, for those that are where God wants them to be, that have yielded to God, that have said, "Lord, you know best," and the trials and the fiery ordeals that we're going through, and the, you know, even though it may seem like it's hitting the fan all around, His word is true. When He says back in Jeremiah, "I know the good plans I have for you," you know, you can, as Dad used to say, you can take that to the bank. You can trust in that. You couple that with Romans 8:28, that He works all things for good for those that love Him. And we may not see how He works it for good or how He is working it for good, but if His word says it, it's true. And if we do our best to love Him, then and that trust is a huge part of that, then He does. He works it for good. And what a peace that comes with that. A peace knowing that, you know, that whatever happens, it's going to work out for good.
And your thoughts?
Did we lose you, Josh? You still there?
No, still here.
Okay.
But anyway, and on the other side of that, you know, when Satan does come to attack, which he does, and he does more whenever you're where you're supposed to be, you know, we sometimes as people want to think that if we're closer to God that, you know, it's going to get easier, and that's where the cakewalk is, you know, but actually, it's a lot of times it's the opposite. You know, that's where the fight is, because you are making a difference. And but it's so worth it, no doubt. But when you find that favor in the Lord and that protection that comes from that, as you said, Rich, that peace of knowing that, you know, I prayed about this, and I prayed and prayed diligently, sought out God's will for me. And when you get that answer, then you go with it, and you stand firm in faith, and watch for the long game, because Romans 8:28 is true. And it, we've seen it time and time again, where God does work everything out for the good. It may take days or weeks or years or a lifetime sometimes for us to be able to understand, you know, what he does for us in a moment. And then other times, like yesterday when I was praying to find a 17-millimeter Allen socket, before I got through praying about it, I put my hand in my pocket and I found it. And I laughed and I said, well, thank you, Lord. You know, that's before I even got it prayed, he showed it to me. So it's all about that relationship with God.
Amen.
Yes.
And living with him every single day.
And you know, Josh, if that's ever been needed, is it not in the days that we are in? You know, the days... overall, are not getting better. They're not. You know, the enemy, they work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to destroy this nation, internally, externally, corroborating with the enemies overseas and opening up the borders here. And so, but there's really nothing new under the sun. You know, you think back to, you know, the old adage that Nero fiddled while Rome burned and he blamed the Christians. You know, the days overall, when you look at it, you know, they're tough. They're tough. Tim and I were talking right before the broadcast about sicknesses. You know, it's not that it's just the non-Christian, the non-believer that's had this. These flu-like symptoms this year and last year. It's been a tough couple of years. But with that hope, that living hope that the Word talks about, that we can trust in Him to get through these things. And, you know, part of it is abiding in Him, reading His Word, praying like you're saying, you know, being doers of the Word, and then it's having Him abide in us, overcoming self, and anyway, yeah, I think you hit it on the head this morning.
In Psalms 5, verse 11 and 12, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may you shelter them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For it is you who bless the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. And you're right, Richard. You know, the sicknesses, all the different, the financial hardships and all that, we're not immune or excluded from that. We've all, as a nation, earned that.
Yes.
And through our disobedience and through our sin. But through the blood of Christ, you know, we can be delivered and we delivered from it. And in the end game, we're going to be better off for it.
Yeah, God tries us and perfects us. He says that, in order to perfect our faith. And I think that a lot, it's not just that. It's also, and I was thinking about what you said about frequency, and Pastor was always, he loved to play those words, meanings, you know, back and forth. Frequency can be a modulation of waveforms, but it can also be a, as in communication, but it can also be how often it's done. And, the frequency of things is a big deal. I mean, pray frequently in the right frequency. So just to throw that out there. Those things, they actually go hand in hand. But also, I think that God's perfecting us. We have do unvaccinated Christian people who are conservative in a way that God appreciates, are they, do they get sick? Yes, they do, but I think God's working that out for our good. You know, it builds an immunity in us. It builds, strengthens us. And, you know, there's an old saying, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And sometimes it seems like that's what God does. I mean, the more knowledge you have as these things go forward, the more you're put through schooling. You know what I mean? God says, well, okay, you know, you're not in first grade anymore. Now we're going to second grade. And then when you're done with that, you go to third grade. And it's a higher education. And it never really stops until the day we're called home. And I've got a feeling it probably doesn't stop then, but it continues on. And that seems to be God's plan for us, is that, you know, you think, it was talking about when you're in the sweet spot, you think everything's going to come up roses, and it's like, no, God doesn't want us to stagnate. He wants us to constantly get better, get stronger, get understand his ways better. And a lot of times we're somebody else's road sign, you know. I mean, it's like, and that road sign could be either way. It may be do not enter, and it may be, you know, speed limit to 75 and head this way, you know, or whatever. But we get the thing on the road, like, it's that's the way that works. And it all works together for his plan, for his people. So,
And directly tying in with that, Tim, how many times have you, because I know I have in myself, prayed for more of something, and you've heard, well, you're not using what you got. And that's the thing, is when he gives us these gifts, when he gives us this knowledge, he expects us to use them, because they're not doing us any good if we take them and put them on a shelf and then try to go on to something else. You know, you gotta in the physical world of fitness, you gotta get to where you can squat that 100 pounds before you can go up to 125, you know. And God has that plan and that path, and it may sound comical to some folks of, you know, me praying about finding a socket, but I've
not
made it to that.
Yeah, I've been there.
No, Josh, I think
I want to tell you.
That's right. I think it's right in line. It when you were talking about that, it made me think of a story Pastor told. We had an old neighbor up here, Art, and Art would come down for years and work on the tractors, he was a Christian, but he was pretty fluent with his language. You know, he could have taught a sailor a few comments. And I remember Pastor talking one time about Art was down, they were working on a tractor, and Pastor was out there with him, and Art was just cursing that tractor, you know, GD this and GD that, and finally Pastor called him on it and said, you know, Art, don't we want God to bless this tractor and get it running instead of damning it? And he said Art kind of threw him back, but he agreed. And he said that cleaned his language up quite a bit. And, you know, we have that option. We can bring God's curses down, ask God to curse things, or we can ask him to bless things. And the world does enough of that cursing.
The gift. Go ahead.
No, Josh, you got it.
One of the gifts that he gives us, and we pray for and fervently pray for, is eyes to see. And part of that eyes to see is to see his blessings around you, see where he's moving around you. Because if you're not looking for it, it's going to be hard for you to see it. But when you do look for it, and when you look and see, you know, that you couldn't find that socket and it took you 10 minutes walking around trying to find that doggone socket, and you prayed about it, and, you know, doggone it, you know, God didn't show you where the socket was, and you had to go get another one, and you were 10 minutes late leaving work, and then when you leave work on the way home, you see that there was a pile-up, you know, vehicles had gotten in a wreck, and if you'd have been there at your regular time 10 minutes earlier, you know, that could have been you. And so through his not answering your prayer at your time, whenever you want it, I mean, you find yourself in that cloak of protection and his favor and him delivering you through your unanswered prayers. And so it's just, it's a mindset. It's an everyday practice. You know, we need to be looking for him. Richard, you talked about those the colors in the sky, you know, and just the different, all the beauty and everything that he gives us. He gives us that for us. Just like when you bring home your wife, you know, roses or whatever our favorite flowers are, you know, in the fall time when the leaves are changing, when we get those beautiful sunrises and sunsets, he put all that there for us.
Yes.
As a treat for us, something special. And we should take a moment, you know, to, that's the saying, stop and smell the roses, to look at that beauty and to be thankful for it and reflect on, you know, who am I? You know, what did I do to deserve this? What the blessings that are around me? And the truth is, we can't do nothing to deserve it. But when we contact that blood, that's a game changer. And we are there, and it is for us, specifically for us.
Amen. Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open this morning. If you'd like to call in and join in, if you have a question or a comment, the call-in number, 307-745-5913. And the program is Coffee with the Wranglers. Tim, you had a comment?
Just, our forefathers called it divine providence, and I, you know, it's a really summary set of words, but that's what Josh is talking about. There is divine providence, and I think, and I just told, it's funny, Josh, because I just told my son-in-law almost verbatim what you said about the socket and the wreck here just about a week ago. I was like, well, you never know when God does that. What he's saving you from, you know, we think we play a long game and a short game. You know, you look at, you focus on what's going on in your life, and like you said, we try to make these plans. Well, we make this short-term plan, and it plays into our long-term plan, but on the scale of God's vision and sight for our life, our short-term and long-term is microscopic. You know, it's like, so you don't know that divergent vector in the geometry of your life. That small little change right there could amount to immense change, you know, in 80 years or in the eternity that is your life in God's kingdom. You know, as Pastor once said, you know, I want the best job in the kingdom, you know. And so to get the best job, you have to have the best training and the best background and all those sort of things. So sometimes those small little tweaks that God does, or big to us at the moment, are actually for our benefit at some point in the future. And that's walking faith, man. That's where it's coming from. And, you know, how am I going to get around this? God, you know, he will take care of you. So we see that kind of stuff, and that's where our faith comes in. So we can't see it.
When you just you saying that about the us making plans and us not being able to, that there's a humility thing that goes along with that, and we would all do well to humble ourselves, but we do not have the mental capacity on our own. There's no way that on our own we can figure what's coming ahead and make a plan that's going to stay. It's just because we don't know, and that's not a negative thing. It's not a slight to anybody. Last night I went in and bought something, and the lady gave me some change. It was a bunch of dimes and pennies, and I didn't want to have it in my pocket because it was just going to be aggravating. So I got out to the vehicle, and the children were in the back seat. And it was 72 cents. And I said, when I got in the vehicle, I asked them, I said, all right, if y'all can guess how much change this is, whoever gets closest, I'll give you the change. And my boy, he's 14. He said, well, 76 cents is what he said. And my little girl, she's 10. It was her turn to guess. And I said, all right, baby, think about it well before you make an answer. You know, and she thought about it, and she said, well, 4 cents. And so I went through the explanation of, well, baby, he went to one end, you know, to 76 cents. And if you were going to try to get closest, you know, or closer than him, you would have said 75 cents, because then that everything from 75 down would have been yours, and all he would have had was from 76 up. You know, you had a 75% chance of being correct, and he had 25. But she didn't have the mental capacity yet to be able to understand that logic, and she never did receive it. And it's the same with us. You know, we just got to be humble and realize that you're not that smart. All right, you're great. We're all great. We're all perfect through him, but we need him for the answers, because we just, I say that, like, you can do all right on your own for the most part. A lot of people do, but if you want to get that next level, and if you truly want to be prosperous and found in his favor, heading in the direction that he wants you to go, if you want those greater things, the kingdom, if you want that best job that you were just speaking of, it can only come from him. And to do that, we've got to seek him constantly. We've got to pray without ceasing, which is that making request. And it doesn't matter how big or how small. And then whenever he answers our prayers, then we thank him for it. We recognize that, we see it, and we thank him for it constantly or fairly regular. I have people that'll say, man, that's lucky, or, you know, you got good luck, or whatever. And that's a good icebreaker for me, because I tell them, you know, quickly, well, I don't believe in luck. And, you know, a lot of times it stops at that, and then other times it will be like, well, why? And so my thoughts on, if you put something off to luck, then you're stealing from God, because
yeah,
God blesses us. Every good thing comes from him. And whenever that tree doesn't fall on your truck, or, you know, whenever you don't get in that wreck, that's not luck. That's favor from God. And we owe him the thanks for that. It's no different than whenever our children, when we do something to bless our children, they don't have to thank us, and we know that they're thankful and all, but it sure is nice whenever they say, man, thank you, Dad, and then especially if they give you a hug. That makes you feel like a bucks. And I don't think it's any different than our relationship with God, because he parallels the two so much. And, you know, that spirit of thanksgiving, it grows our faith, because we have that relationship. And when you have a yes as an answer, you know, 11 times in a row, and that 12th time he tells you no, like, all right, Lord, got you. Thank you. I'm going to carry on this way, you know, the way that you're leading me to. And that walks into, okay, what's going on right now? They, quotation marks, are controlling by fear. You know, with the new coronavirus strain, and with the stock market this, and inflation that, it's fear. That is a very effective controller. But when you got a relationship with God, whenever you are trusting in him and walking with him, and when you fear him, not them, they don't have as much control over you. Not saying it's going to be perfect, because I think we all still fear sometimes, but I do my best not to show it whenever I do, and I pray about it and pray that God would give me strength and courage and help me not to fear, because that whip, you know, that fear, that prodding, it does affect you, and that's a big tool that they use. And for us to fear them, we are out of line. We should fear God And that should be all through prayer.
Amen.
Yeah, every time you fear, you deny faith. So fear is the faith killer, and faith is the fear killer. I mean, it's whichever dog you feed the most is the one that's going to win, you know. So feed the faith. And I think part of the way you do that is just like you said, and I do it too. That sounds kind of bad. I don't always have time to stop and just, you know, tell everybody everything about God. I mean, if they really want to know, I'll make time, okay? But sometimes in the midst of draining the swamp and fighting the alligators, it's, you know. But I do have time when somebody says something about, well, wow, that was a lucky deal or something, to say, no, you know, the good Lord was looking after me, or something like that, and go on. And it's a witness, and you never know what that seed will bear when you plant it, you know. And it's an opportunity to further faith, not only in yourself but in someone else. And that recognition is a verbal recognition of that in our life strengthens your faith, your fellow man's identification of faith, and you know, it bears fruit all the way across the board. And like I say, you'll never know how much. Well, you may at some point, but at least in the short term, you're not. But it still is, and it is a debt that is owed to God. I mean, that's the way I look at it. It's like pay your debts, and the debt that is owed to God is, with my mouth will I confess it, you know. And that is a confession of God's power over your life. And it's a duty. If you're a Christian and if you're that, it doesn't matter whether they understand. It doesn't matter whether they look down on you. With Jesus Christ is the one who brings every good thing. And that's just how it is. So, you know.
Go ahead, Josh.
Not talking. You talk about not always talking, and if you think about it, somebody that talks all the time, most of the time people don't listen to them that much. And
true.
we're there to do the work, and you know, a lot of times whenever you do pick your words, and so one of the things I pray for is that God will show me when to speak and when to be silent. And he'll give me the words to say whenever it's time to speak. But you got to show people. You can't just tell them. There's, you know, empty promises, empty words. There are a lot of folks out there, or at least some, that just like to hear themselves talk. And those people just are drowned out, you know, in the noise of the world. And most of the time, I try to be cordial and polite to them, but, you know, I'm not listening to what they got to say because they're just all about talking. But when we take that opportunity to show people, you know, when we're walking that walk, and being that example, I think maybe it's you that said it, Tim, you know, we've got to walk that line so that when people see us, they see something different. I know I've heard Richard talk about that before. You know, they've got to be able to look at you and see something different, to make them want to do something different. And so when we throw those little nuggets out there like that, exactly like you said, Tim, when they bite on it, we need to stop and we need to invest that time in somebody. But you can't just, well, I say that, but you got to show your words, not just say them, I guess is where I'm going with that.
Amen. And it's the power. It's how we overcome. Tim, when you were saying that, I turned to Revelation 12:11. It says that they overcame him, the accuser is who it's talking about, the enemy. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And I think that's what you're talking about there, is that we have to give that testimony that, hey, God did this. Yeah, God, you know, I've been blessed by God, or, you know, God did this. It wasn't me. And that is part of our testimony. It is those seeds planted. You know, it could be watering the seeds that were planted years ago. It could be that ray of sunshine that hits on them that causes them to start to bloom and blossom by giving that testimony. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a 45-minute church sermon on Sunday morning. But I like how you put that, Tim, just that, no, I don't believe in luck. This is a God thing. And that's needed. That, you know, that's a quick burst of that bright light in this dark world. That's for sure.
You know, whenever you do get that 1 in 10 or however many of whenever God cracks it open and he's like, okay, I'm going to show you why I told you, you know, it is such a blessing. But also, too, that's kind of training wheels. You know, that's growing us, because we should make it to a point where we don't have to see for our faith to be reassured and for us to be in a good spot. We should strive to get to that faith of the centurion, you know, where we don't have to see anything. You know, it we know it already. It doesn't matter what we see. But it sure is, and I've still got my training wheels on, because I still like to see it whenever God opens something up and shows me why. It makes you grin, and you just appreciate him talking to you. You know, it makes you feel special whenever you know that God is taking his time out. Like what you're talking about, Tim, you know, when you make it, and when God makes that time to be there talking to you, boy, that's a special feeling.
Amen. Well, guys, let's try the phone lines. We got a call this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard and everybody else there. This is Ken.
Good morning, Ken.
In Wisconsin.
Good morning, Ken.
And last week I got a comment. This fits right in with what you're discussing right now in a big way, I think. Well, last week, I believe it was, you played a message by Pastor Peters on when he turned into a thinker. If you recall that.
Yes.
Well, a long time ago, I quit drinking and I started thinking. And it was a big benefit for me. I quit forgetting things, too. But since I've become a thinker, and I've turned into a pretty heavy thinker here lately, I started thinking about this world situation and the problems that we're facing. And, you know, I've told this thing. What I'm about to say, I've told it to several people lately, and they can't deny it at all. You can relate this to the COVID situation. You can relate it to the oil situation or anything you want. Well, you run into people that are so worried about, well, they're burning up the world's resources, and that's Bill Gates and the rest of that clan. They want it all for themselves and none for us. And we're running out of oil, and we're running out of this and running out of that. And I brought this subject up. I want to share it with you right now. None of them can deny that God created this world, and they don't deny it. And then I told these people, just think a little bit. If he was able to create this world, he's also able to expand this world in any way he chooses. You want to run out of oil? He could turn the Atlantic Ocean into a crude oil. You run out of space to grow food? He could expand this globe half again, double the size, anything he wants to do. But there's one thing goes along with it that nobody seems to want to have: faith. You got to have faith in God, or he's not going to do it. He's going to let everything shrink to nothing. He's going to let the drought take over, and he's going to let you run out of food in your grocery stores. He's going to let you run out of everything until you get down on your knees, and you'll find out what faith is one day. I've said my piece.
Amen, Ken. Thanks for the comments. God bless you, brother.
And you're right about that, because whenever we have faith in him, that the other side of that is, well, we have to relinquish any thought of us having control and having power. We get smaller whenever when we make him bigger, because we realize, I think that was a perfect example, and right in line with what we've been talking about this morning.
Amen. Amen. Romans talks about it before, just a few verses before our Romans 8:28. It says, "For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." And just one more little nugget there in Romans. You know, right before that, he talks about, you know, that we're not to consider the sufferings of the present time worthy to be compared with the glory that that will be revealed to us. And, you know, when you realize the things that we're going through are because our Heavenly Father loves us. You know, the word talks about that while we were enemies with God, He sent His Son Jesus Christ to save us. How much more now that we're not enemies, how much more now will He, you know, will He open up to us and do for us and protect us and guide us if we do what He tells us? And so that we can see that we have that, as the Word talks about, that living hope. And, you know, the Bible makes many points in contrast. And I think that we're seeing that contrast as well in the world, because most people today have no hope. And that is why they're scared to death. That is why if it came out today that what everybody needs to do is wear a blue jogging suit and walk backwards to save themselves, they'd be sold out in an hour. And that's what people would be doing, because they have no hope. And they're grasping at straws. You know, the people that aren't in Christ, that don't have that living hope. Because our enemy has done such a good job of, you know, removing God and Christianity and the Word and His teachings from almost every part of society. You know, you'll hear things like this Michigan school shooting. I think that's where it was. Was that in Michigan, this last one? Well, you know, where was God when this was going on? You'll hear the naysayers, and it's like, well, people, you told God not to be there. You know, you kicked God out of school years ago, and you've kicked Him out of society, and He's not just some genie that when things go bad, you want to turn to Him. You know, those are even for believers that are that way. You know, again, there's that contrast. It's been talked about this morning to pray without ceasing, and to pray in the Spirit, and to have the eyes to see. And see, those, the Bible talks about that. Those are the wise virgins that bought the oil, that have the oil of understanding for their lamps, to keep their lamps lit. And the other half, they didn't buy it. They didn't buy it. I like Ken said, listening to Pastor's messages, I heard Pastor talk about that this week on the stream. And if you don't buy it, guess what? You don't get it. It's as simple as that. And there's unfortunately so many that they don't buy it. They don't apply this word that they read. They don't want to seek truth. But for those that do, wow, you know, the peace and the grace that's given is, you know, it lets you be like that Proverbs 31 woman I mentioned that Thursday night, you know, that smiles at the future. And that's how we should be. We should be able to smile at the future. Because He does have good plans for us.
You know, hearing you say that, and, you know, made me think about it, that we are experiencing that rod of correction. And God doesn't take any pleasure in that. It's the same thing. No normal person, none of our people get any pleasure out of correcting our children, out of spanking our children. That is not what you want to spend your day doing.
Right.
You would a whole lot rather fellowship and enjoy them and bless them. It's no different with God. I mean, that he doesn't get any pleasure out of this and this situation we're in and where we're at. But it is a necessity to turn us. And it's a cycle. You know, you look in the Bible time and time again where we fall away and he has to, I guess, hurt us back into that center line where we're supposed to be. And then it's just human nature. We fall away again. And this is no different than any of those other cycles. We have turned our back on him. So therefore, he allows Satan to have to play his part in it, using him as that rod of correction. But he completely is in control of what can happen and how bad it gets. And the word shows us that our prayers and our movement back towards that center line determines how much correction he has to use. And so it's our responsibility, if every one of us will do our part and come back to that center line and then do our part and open our mouths whenever it's time to speak and keep your mouth shut when it's time to be quiet, that moves us, that moves the kingdom, our flock, back towards the center line. And it does. It takes everybody doing their part to remove that rod from our land to get us out of this situation. You know, that Second Chronicles revival that we're looking to is everybody, all of our people at least, doing our part. And that cancels their power. God strips them of that power, exposes them, a lot of times destroys them right there in front of our eyes. So Psalms 85, O Lord, you showed favor to your land. You restored the captivity of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your fury. You turned away your burning anger. Restore us, O God, of our salvation, and cause your indignation toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go before him and will make his footsteps into a way.
Amen to that. Amen. Well, guys, we're all but out of time. Wow. Wish we had time to sit for another hour. Sure encouraging. And Remnant, we thank you for joining us. We you know, we do see all around us the drought that, wow, looking more into it, massive drought out here in the West. Massive sell-off of cattle herds and you know, the prices just keep going up. That's right. Shortages and supply chain issues and if you let this stuff get to you, it can be very depressing. That's why we have the good news, is to counter that. And it does. It counters it very well. It just, like it was said in the program, it's, you know, who you fear. Because that's who you're going to obey. And we need to fear God as the Heavenly Father, the Creator, the loving Father that He is. And trust in Him. And then it's okay. Then it's okay. It works out. There's changes coming, folks. changes coming that I don't think any of us have seen in our lifetime. And but they'll be okay for the believer, for the doer of the word. Well, men, thanks so much for joining us this morning. And we are so thankful that you guys took time out this morning. And, boy, it sure encouraged me. I hope it encouraged the remnant that that was tuned in. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow, guys. And remnant out there, you can join us at scriptures4america.org. And starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. That's 7:30 on the West Coast, and I think it's 6:30 in Alaska. But you can join us at scriptures4america.org. We'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit message, a live message. We'll give you the opportunity for more fellowship with like-minded believers, and also the opportunity to partake of communion, to remember, to take just a few minutes out of our busy lives and remember what our Lord and Savior has done for us as we look into His Word and as we partake of the emblems, the representations of His body and His blood that He paid for us. Well, guys, again, thanks, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
When I wander through the desert and I'm longing for my home, all my dreams have gone astray. When I'm stranded in the valley and I'm tired and all alone, it seems like I've lost my way. I go running to your mountain where your mercy sets me free. You are my strong tower, shelter. Softly to my soul.